Hallelujah. Second Peter. And I'm reading from verse 1. Second Peter chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which are stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. The emphasis here is by way of remembrance. There's nothing we're going to talk now that we have not spoken before. By way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And we're looking at something that has to do with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason this came to my spirit, I was sharing with Pastor Thomas, the coming of the Lord is closer than so many people think. Recently, a very good friend of mine called me from Abuja. He's an Air Force general. And he told me he drinks a lot, you know. He's a religious man, but not the serious type. And he said, he loves God. That young man loves God. He said he woke up from a dream. In that dream, he was walking with some people. And all of a sudden, he said, in the sky like that, he saw a rainbow. He said, that rainbow is the most beautiful rainbow, the colors there he has ever seen. And while they were walking with those people, he was seriously observing that rainbow, admiring it. I was wondering what type of rainbow like this in the afternoon, like this in the sky. He said, suddenly an eye appeared in the sky on that rainbow. And while he was wondering, what is this? A voice spoke from that rainbow. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. He said he shook from the fear and woke up. He woke his wife and said, see the dream I just had. He said he was busy thinking of it. That revelation. He was calling a few people to tell them. He said that few days after that, their own pastor, you know, they call them reverend. They said the reverend of their church, Equa Church in Abuja, had served them very well in that branch, and now he was being posted out recently. And so, by way of send-off, the members of that branch decided he was already reaching his retirement age in the ministry. And they decided that they would build a retirement home for him. So they raised up the building fund. And maybe my friend is the chairman of the building fund. They created an account where they were keeping the money. And the man has, you know, there's a way they arranged it. And he said, He had not seen the reverend since he was posted out. He said the reverend called him. I called him and said, General. He said, you people are still contributing money for that building. The man said, yes. He said, last night, the Lord appeared to me and told me he is coming very soon. And he said that from the way the Lord spoke to him, that he is not sure the coming of the Lord will last long enough for that building to be completed, and then he will retire and go and live in it. Therefore, he called him to tell them that they should stop that project. That there is no need. The rapture will soon strike. Putting that together with the revelation he had, he said, fear came more upon him. See? And I was still meditating on that. When a young girl this Tuesday this week came to me, I think the name is Uchechi. Is it Uchechi? Uchechi. Are you here? The lawyer? Uchechi. Okay, she's not here today. She's around. Where is she? I just want them to know I am telling the truth. If you are here, just wave your hand wherever you are. Okay, you are the one. God bless you. I want them to know. She spoke of a revelation she got not too long ago. When she said, I don't know whether she says the Lord Jesus or a man called her and showed her a wristwatch. And that she should look at the time. And as she looked at the time, it was 12:05. And in that revelation, she was being ministered to. Jesus Christ is coming soon. 12:05. Anybody that is listening to me now, what I'm telling you today is Jesus is coming soon. That's my exhortation tonight. The Bible says here, Peter, let me read it again. Second Peter. Verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, that is after their own heart desires, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. There will be a group of people, scoffers. The Bible describes them as scoffers. They will be making mockery. I beg, since how many years now? Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Where is the promise of his coming? I beg. Hallelujah. Since the days of Apostle Paul, coming soon. Now so. And some are saying it by the word of mouth, but some are also saying it by the life they live. You see? When we say Jesus Christ is coming, hallelujah, we have three comings of Jesus Christ. He has come. The first one, he has come and gone. So, we are not talking about it because we are talking about the one that is ahead coming. There are three. There are three comings that is still ahead of us. Three. The first one. And these three, church, listen. These three coming, Jesus Christ said, the day or the hour, no man knows. He said, even he himself, he does not know. Only the Father knows the day or the hour. So anybody that tells you Jesus Christ is coming so date and so time. He said, don't believe it. Amen. So, and these three comings, nobody knows the exact date. But we know the season, We know the season. But the actual day or time, nobody knows. The three, number one is nobody. Remember that when Christ will come, some, that is coming for the rapture, some, the dead in Christ will rise first. There are people that will go through the grave to meet him. So, the first coming that Christ can come for you is through death. Nobody knows when he will die. So, that is the first coming. For every one of us sitting down here now, we are expecting these three. The first one is death. Holy men, they die. Sinners, they die. There are accidents that take place and genuine children of God, they die. There are sicknesses that catch children of God, genuine children of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, they die. God is the one that chooses through which means he will meet you for the rapture. So when you sit down and say, Christ is coming, they say they come since. He can come to you through the grave. Then number two, hallelujah. The soon coming, amen. He is the second one now that we're expecting. Coming at the end of the Gentile church age. It's coming at the end of the Gentile church age. It's coming for the rapture. Hallelujah. We see that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. The Lord himself, let's read it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'll read it from verse 13. Let me read it from verse 13. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those who are dead, believers that are dead, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Verse 16 is the order of his coming. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We have a song in our hymn book. And we with living yet remain, caught up shall meet our Savior Lord. This hope we cherish not in vain, but we comfort one another by his word. Oh, he's coming soon. He's coming soon. With joy, we welcome his return. It may be morn, it may be night or noon. We know he's coming soon. Hallelujah. It's coming soon. This song has been written years, hundreds of years ago. It's coming soon. It's coming soon, oh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's coming again for the day of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, the day of the Lord is the day after the rapture has taken place. Praise the Lord. The scripture lets us know how many years are we supposed to be up there in heaven before we come back? 7 years. Don't worry, those of you hearing us for the first time, get our tips and you will catch up with us. But I want to just bring out a picture quickly. Hallelujah. I just want you to know the various comings of the Lord. I've said he's coming through the grave by way of death. Now, he's coming for the rapture. Again, for those of us who are alive to be changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, as Apostle Paul told the Corinthians. Then, there is the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. Second Peter chapter 3. That is what Peter was referring to here. Verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. The Lord Jesus Christ explained it, Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 29. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Let me quickly explain the tribulation he's referring to here. Remember, praise God, that after the rapture has taken place, the Antichrist enters into a covenant with Israel. That covenant is supposed to be 7 years covenant. He says he enters the covenant, Daniel chapter 9. He entered the covenant for 1 week. He said in the middle of the week, he will break the covenant. Why? Because those two prophets in Revelation chapter 11 will be exposing him together with the 144,000 Jews that have been sealed on their forehead. They will be exposing, remember, by the time the rapture takes place, the Antichrist leaves Rome and goes to the temple in Jerusalem and sits down there to be worshipped. And these Jews will be preaching to the whole world that that is the Antichrist. It's an abomination. Nobody should listen to him. He will bear it for 3.5 years. But after 3.5 years, he will rise up and show his true color. That is when Lucifer himself now comes now and incubates him. And then they will know who that very religious man that move as if he cannot hurt fly, who he is. And within that period, the remaining 3.5 years, that is the great tribulation. That is the time that the Bible calls the time of Jacob's trouble. That is the time that he forces everybody to take the mark of the beast. That's 666 mark. On the right hand and on the forehead. And if you refuse, they kill you. Or you neither buy nor sell. It will be a horrible period, particularly for the Jews. That is why, in my teaching, we've tried to explain it, that the bride of Jesus Christ does not go through tribulation. The tribulation takes place after she's long gone. Praise the Lord. And the tribulation takes place 3.5 years when she has gone, well, up to 3.5 years before it starts. That is the tribulation that is referred to here in verse 29, Matthew 24. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Hallelujah. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That coming, that is coming, is what the Lord Jesus Christ emphasized again in Matthew 25. Open it. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, that glory that we see in Matthew 24, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And then we know the remaining story. Praise the Lord. That immediately after the tribulation, Christ will come with the bride that went in the rapture to come to start the 1,000 years reign on earth. That period of his coming, he is coming. That period is known as the day of the Lord. Praise the Lord. The whole world will be expecting after the rapture. You will not see Christ again until the day of the Lord. And that is what we see prophesied. So many other scriptures like Isaiah 24. You read that from verse 1 to 6. And that is what we see in the sixth seal of Revelation chapter 6 from verse 12 to verse 17. I call it again Isaiah 24 verse 1 to 6. And Revelation chapter 6 verse 12 to 17. Praise the Lord. Now the question is, when is he coming? Now, our emphasis here for now, the one we are expecting now, apart from the grave, is coming for the translation, the rapture. When both those in the grave and those of us alive will be changed and will be caught up with him. When is he coming? Remember, the Bible says, no one knows the day, nor the hour. But Apostle Paul, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, says, we will know the season. We will know the season. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. When is he coming? He will come when the fullness of the Gentile comes in. Romans chapter 11. Listen carefully for those hearing us for the first time. We know that the gospel was meant for the Jews. He told a Syrophoenician woman that needed healing. He said he did not come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's not good to give the children's meat to the dogs. He came for the Jews. But the Jews rejected the gospel. That every Christian knows that. And because they rejected the gospel, he turned to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 13, Apostle Paul said it. And we see that beautiful type in the story of Esther, where Queen Vashti turned down the invitation of King Ahasuerus, and she lost her position for that slave girl, Esther, to take over as the queen. The Jews lost their position, and then we, worthless people that Christ said dogs, we are the ones now that are occupying the higher position as the bride. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But Romans chapter 11, let's read it. It's a Bible study, so. Romans chapter 11. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 25. For I will not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. It's a mystery. Lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, Gentiles. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So that they are blinding today is temporary. God blinding them. Generally, they refuse to accept Christ. They rejected him. But God blinding them while he's picking a bride from the Gentiles. Hallelujah. When he has finished, he will go back to them. Their eyes will be open. Zechariah chapter 12, Zechariah chapter 14 makes it clear what will happen when revival will go back to Israel again. They will weep when they will find out that Jesus that they crucified was their Messiah. They will cry, they will weep. They will ask him, where did you get those scars from your hand? He will tell them, from my brethren, my friends, my brethren, they are those that gave it to me. When they see it, they will cry, they will weep. While he'll be dealing with them, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And when the gospel left Israel and came to us, the Gentiles, remember, it is not going to be with us forever. It is for a particular period. Hallelujah. For a particular period. Not forever. That is where the Gentiles are just living their life as if this salvation is forever going to stay with us. One of these days, the Spirit of grace will leave us and go back to the Jews. So you have to know something now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's something you have to know. How long is this grace period going to be? How long is the gospel going to be with us before going to Israel? That is what many people are not aware of. Our church members here, you know, be patient and let others know it too. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's exactly what we see in Daniel, 70 weeks of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9. The angel of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible was telling us in Daniel chapter 9. The Bible tells us that, remember, Daniel was in Babylonian captivity according to the prophecy of Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 25. Because they were disobedient, God said he will raise Nebuchadnezzar. In that scripture, God referred to Nebuchadnezzar as my servant. Any day I read that scripture and I see God call Nebuchadnezzar my servant. Then any time I see, you know, he even referred to Pharaoh as my servant. And I see anybody come and say, I am a servant of God. Amen. Now understand there are different types of servants. Eh? Hallelujah. There are servants that God, in fact, Satan is a servant of God. He reserves Satan. Anytime you commit anything, he will release him to come after you. And Satan is a very faithful servant in that type of assignment. Praise God. No evil comes upon a true child of God unless God allows it. So if God does not stop that evil coming, then it is to work out his purpose. Maybe. Because whom he loves, he chastens. And God does not use Cain like we use Cain here. His own Cain is different. He will allow some demons, some witches. Some witches in your village, they are God's servants. Amen. They're living a life of drunkenness, revelings. You're living a life of fornication. And you are saying, no witch has power over me. No witch has power over you. Of course, they have no power over you. But God will not stop them when they come. They are there to deal with you. You refuse to pay your tithe. The devourer will come. They are God's servants. Anyway, Nebuchadnezzar came. Jeremiah prophesied 70 years that Nebuchadnezzar will keep them in captivity for 70 years. And shortly after, Nebuchadnezzar came exactly as Jeremiah prophesied. And they were in that captivity, but one day, the Bible in Daniel chapter 9 says, Daniel understood by books the time of that prophecy. He began to calculate when the captivity started. And by the time he was calculating, he discovered that they had spent 68 years in the Babylonian captivity. Remaining how many years? 2 years. Daniel is a type of the bride of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. We are also understanding by books the time of the Gentile grace age. How long it will last. There are keys in the Bible. I'm taking it slowly for those hearing us for the first time. I'm not taking a teaching on that. I just want somebody to know how soon, when we say Christ is coming soon, and we are going to do some calculation. So you get your Bible and paper, because we are going to calculate. Put it down and see how many more years left according to this Bible for Christ to come. Praise the Lord. Daniel calculated and he discovered remaining 2 years. The bride will calculate also. And you will know. After this period though, anytime from now, he will come. Between this and social period, between social period, social period, we don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but between social, between Monday and Friday, he will come. He will come. You can be certain there. That's what I want us to know. Daniel knew. Daniel is a type of the bride of Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's read Hosea chapter 6 first. Yes. Let's go to Hosea first. Hosea is after the book of Daniel. Let's pick the keys now. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1. He says, come and let us return. Remember, this is a prophecy. Come and let us return unto the Lord. For he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. When did he tear them? And when did he smite them? Go to Matthew chapter 24. Put your finger there. We are coming back to Hosea. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 15. We know what took place. I mean, all the narration Jesus Christ was saying there in Matthew 24. Hallelujah. From verse 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then, let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shut in, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shut in. I like the narration of Luke 21. Let's go to Luke 21. Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. And I'm going to take a little a longer reading from verse 20. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. From verse 20. Okay, let me just read that from verse 20. He said, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is near. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. If you are in the city, get out of the city. And let not them that are in the countries enter therein. If you are outside the country, don't come back there. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be a great distress in the land, and wrath upon these people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. This prophecy has been fulfilled. This prophecy, he says, the day of vengeance. They rejected Christ. Herod came out to say, I didn't find anything in this man. Oh, my hand is clean. Oh, they say, yeah, crucify him. Crucify him. Let his blood be upon us and our children. Anytime I read that portion of the Bible, I say, see how these people bring wahala for their yet unborn children. And shortly after that, in AD 70, we know that story. General Titus from Rome, when they heard of what was going on there, they were quarreling among themselves. And there was a rebellion. They came to quash it. And you know what happened? They came and surrounded the city. That is why he said, if you see Jerusalem compass about with armies, he said, if you are inside, run out. If you are outside, don't come in again. He said, pray that it is not during winter, because you won't have a place to stay outside. He said, woe to him that is with a child. Because according to the history, when that thing took place, they adopted this strategy of they just encamp round about the city, no coming out, no going in. And after a long time, months, they stood like that. All the food finished. hungry setting. Nobody was going out now. So imagine their condition at that time. I have read it in history where it reached a point where they were eating one another's children to survive. That's why they said the problem, the trouble they will go through is such that they had never undergone such problem before until that time. And of course, fulfilling the curses in Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you read it from verse 14, 15 downwards. Because they turned down the Lord of glory. They were paying for it. And we know, he said, upon us. Let his blood be upon us. The blood was upon them that time. And upon our children. That's why they went through what they went through in the hands of Hitler. See? I think they said 6 million Jews. They were taking them and as if they were animals. Putting them in gas chambers. Getting excited as they were dying. And their God, the God of Israel, folded his hand and was looking at them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is the period they were smitten. That was the period they were torn. And that was the period that they dispersed all of them. Jerusalem was trodden upon. The temple was brought down. And they drove everybody away. They took them to all these European nations. And it was in their absence that these Arab nations, the Palestinians, they call them now, came to the land now. And now they are saying, now then get the land. Hallelujah. Those of you who have been watching international news, you know something interesting is going on there now. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give me a microphone, please. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sorry, just bear with us. And from that time until now, they were scattered all over until 1948. According to Bible prophecies, they are scattered everywhere, that they will come back to their land. Because it was God that scattered them. But that's not where I'm going. My emphasis is that that is the period they were torn to pieces in AD 70. And let's go back to Hosea chapter 6 now. Hallelujah. Now, in Hosea chapter 6, I read it again from verse 1. Come, and let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn, and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. After how many days? After how many days? That is where we get the key. After 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day is the millennium. He will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Amen. Now, that is where we get the key. He said, he turned them, he has smitten them. He said, and after 2 days, it means from AD 70, when they were smitten, he will come back to them after how many days? 2 days. That means, I remember, that is, by AD 70 now, the gospel now, they had rejected it, so the gospel came to the Gentiles. So, how long is the gospel to stay with us. It will stay with us for how many days? How many days? 2 days. Because after 2 days, he will come back to them to revive them. What is this 2 days? Go back to where we are reading now. 2 Peter. And 2 Peter chapter 3. Hallelujah. Where we read? Verse 8. He said, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as how many thousand years? 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as one day. It's another key. So, 2 days will be how many years? How many years? 2,000 years. It simply means the gospel is going to stay with the Gentiles for 2,000 years. So you are supposed to count 2,000 years from AD 70 to know how long more is left before Christ will come. Since the gospel will only go back to them after the rapture has taken place. After the rapture has taken place, then it will go back to the Jews. And the rapture will take place within these 2,000 years. And within these 2,000 years, the 2,000 years grace period, we see in the scriptures that it is divided into 7 church ages. And church, we have taught it here several times, this is the 7th church age. We are now in the 7th church age. And every age, praise the Lord. Let me quickly also support something. Hallelujah. I think I've answered this recently here too. This 2 days thing. In Luke chapter 10, the parable of the Good Samaritan. The parable of the Good Samaritan also establishes the 2 days. Amen. Now we know that the parable of the Good Samaritan is the story of redemption. The man that was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. He's on the way, he met with thieves that disrobed him, robbed him, and left him there, you know, helpless. The priests passed, came, could not help him, passed. The Levites came, could not help him, passed. Then a good Samaritan came and saw him. And we know that that is the story of redemption. Man, when we fell out from the presence of God, hallelujah, that is, we left the Garden of Eden, the presence of God, and then Satan took over and finished us and reduced man to the condition that we are today. We needed help. We needed help. We needed help. And remember, the priest and the lever there is the law. The law could not help man. It even increased the problem for them. But while they were there, helpless, oh miserable man that I am, Romans chapter 7, who will deliver me? Apostle Paul, he said, but thank God through Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus is that good Samaritan. He came and took him, packed him to an inn. And I said the inn there is the church. I handed him over to the innkeeper. The innkeeper there is the fivefold ministry of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. He said he gave these gifts for the perfecting of the saints. And when he called the innkeeper, the Bible says he gave him how many pence? 2 pence. Remember, Matthew chapter 20 tells us that one day's wage is how much? 1 penny. So if he gave him 2 pence, it means he's going to come after 2 days. So he gave him the wages for 2 days, 2 pence. And he left him in the inn and said, take this and take care of him. When I come back and you spend more, I will pay you back. And he has gone now. He's waiting to come back. He will come back to the inn and he will see the innkeepers. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why we know that it is 2 days. But within these 2 days, it is divided into 7 church ages. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 16, we saw the Lord Jesus Christ with 7 stars in his right hand and 7 candlesticks. And verse 20 of Revelation chapter 1 tells us that the 7 stars are, the 7 candlesticks are the 7 churches in Asia. And he said the 7 stars are the angels, messengers to those 7 churches. They are the stars, star messengers. In every age, there is a star messenger. Praise the Lord. In every age, there is a star messenger. Why? Because Satan is out to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, when the enemy rises like a flood, what happens? The Spirit of God will raise a standard for every age. God reserved himself a man that he will be the light bearer, and the bride in that age will be following him. Right from the first church age is Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. And while there were heretics up and down, like Hymenaeus, like Alexander the coppersmith, like the rest, all of them, Demas and the rest, those who are preaching nonsense, Apostle Paul laid a curse on anybody that will preach anything contrary to what they have preached. Hallelujah. He was the light bearer for that age. And on like that, to the 7 church age known as the Laodicean church age. The first church age was the Ephesian church age. This last one is the Laodicean church age. And this is the age of deceit. The enemy is using deceit. False prophets, false preachers everywhere. But in this age, God raised up a man by the name of William Marion Branham. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he became the light bearer for the age. And the whole of the bride of Jesus Christ in this age, we follow him. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And remember that God's number for completion is 7. After 7, 8 is a new beginning. Completion is 7. Hallelujah. And that's why it takes the building of the temple, Solomon's temple. How many years did it take to build? 7 years. And it used materials from all over the world. A type of the church of Jesus Christ that will be put together through 7 church ages with materials from all over the world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why Igbo people are sitting down here now. A Hausa man is here now. Calabar man is here now. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All over the world. Oyibo people are there. Chinese people are there. Indian people are all over. They built it through the 7 church ages. And when Queen Esther was to be prepared for the king, how many chamberlains did he use? 7 chamberlains. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A type of the 7 star messengers that will prepare the bride of Jesus Christ through the Gentile church ages. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And there you begin to understand Revelation chapter 10 and verse 7. He said, but in the days of the voice of the 7th angel, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. When he shall begin to sound, he said, the mystery of God should be finished. Which mystery? Ephesians chapter 3 Apostle Paul tells us, the mystery that was hid from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. And how the Gentiles have now come into the commonwealth of Israel. It's a mystery. He said, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, that mystery will be rounded up. And we are now in the days of that voice. That is the voice that of William Marion Branham. The voice of restoration. Restoring the bride of Jesus Christ back to Bible Christianity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. When is he coming? When is he coming? Hallelujah. And we say something. One mystery that many of us cannot catch is that the rapture has started. The rapture has started. I say it again for emphasis. Turn and look at your neighbor eyeball to eyeball. Tell him, the rapture has started. In the fear, tell him again. Tell him very well. Tell him. Hallelujah. You were taught in your denomination that on the day of rapture, somebody will come. Papa, 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 papa. Hey! Molue go de jam molue. Aeroplane go jam aeroplane. Okada go jam okada. Confusion. Train go jam train. Confusion everywhere. What did happen? Na rapture. Na rapture. It's a lie. Hallelujah. First Thessalonians. Where we read? Chapter 4. Hallelujah. Verse 16. For the Lord himself concerning the coming, this is how he will come. The Lord himself will descend, coming down from heaven with what? A shout. And with what? The voice of the archangel. And with what? The trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. There are three stages of the rapture. The first stage is a shout. There will first be a shout. Hallelujah. The reason is Matthew 25. Go to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Verse 5 is my emphasis. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom coming. Go ye out to meet him. This is the words of Jesus Christ himself. A sleeping condition of the church, because Christ waited for so long. Up to now, he never come. So everybody relaxed. But at the darkest hour of apostasy and laziness and confusion in the church, darkest hour, remember that Apostle Paul, he says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, he says that Christ will not come, except before Christ will come, a condition will arise. They will fall away from the faith first. And anybody that will doubt this prophecy, whether it is fulfilled or not, you can doubt any other thing else. This is the time that prophecy is fulfilled. they fall away from the faith. Search the whole Bible and take your eyes away from the Bible and see the church that is supposed to be a product of this Bible and see what resemblance you will see going on in the church today with the Bible. If you are studying the Bible, if you are reading with your head correct, there must be questions. There must be questions, church, there must be questions. Clearly, for instance, the Bible forbid woman pastor. But are people not ordaining women pastors? They're doing it. Where do they, can't they see that scripture in the Bible? You see? Where do they get all those titles they bear? Reverend, Reverend Doctor. Pope. Archbishop. Archdeacon. Primate Prelate. General Overseer. Where do you see that pattern in the Bible? A church, we have headquarters and have branches everywhere. They are collecting tithe and offering and bringing to him at the headquarters. Then, well done, my boy. Then he go give you salary. Where do you see in the Bible that when God call a man to be pastor, his wife too is automatically called to be pastor? What was the ministry of Peter's wife? Hallelujah. It's a product of the fall away. Where do you see in the Bible that before you can come into the ministry, you must go to Bible school? Hallelujah. Departure from the faith. I was arguing with my friends that came today, those evangelists, that some people are arguing, it doesn't know whether we are among, that baptism must be in the name of Jesus only, and not Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And I was pitying him. This man, no Bible, so day, but this one, a eye close. And I asked him a very simple question, brother. Do you study the Bible or you read the Bible? Don't read the Bible. Study the Bible. If you are just reading Bible, if you read Bible, you will jump Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye, preach the word to the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Then you make altar call. According to Matthew 28, verse 19, brother, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I put in some water, I bring you out. You see? And then the man will take off and go and say, I have been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And I ask my brother, and I'm asking the same question for anybody that will have that same question today. I say, this is, you don't need revelation for that. It's common sense. It's common sense. You don't even need to pray, Holy Ghost, let me understand this one. It's simple. The Bible says, go and baptize in the name. Look, Jesus the Christ spoke to Peter. Peter was there. When Jesus Christ told him, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And Peter on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:38, he says, go and baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you are studying the Bible, the first thing is you say, Jesus said baptize in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Peter said baptize in the name of Jesus. What does this mean? There's confusion. And yet, every scripture is given by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. So, Peter is right, Jesus is right. So, which one am I going to follow now? And some say, will I follow Jesus or follow Peter? And some say, it means, if you like,
baptize in the name of Jesus. If you like, baptize in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. All of them, the Bible. You are correct. See how people are. If you are studying the Bible, you will notice as you chant that scripture, go and baptize in the name of the Father, you will stop. What is the name of the Father? And of the Son. What is the name of the Son? And of the Holy Ghost. In which name is the Holy Ghost coming? Simple. If you ask that question, for every Bible question, there is a Bible answer. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now that is why I say this one is common sense. Then you will now soon discover that the name of the Father is Jesus. The name of the Son is Jesus. The name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus, is in the Bible. So in actual sense, Jesus was telling you, go and baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because that name Jesus is the name of the Father that he gave his Son. And the Holy Ghost, which is the Comforter, and the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which my Father will send in my name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.